Let's talk about tech, baby.
Fevzy, we've cut into your time, and let me take this opportunity to apologise. I look forward to you so much, and so does my bank card.
No, I quite understand, and your bank card will be grateful for the shorter feature. I would just speak more quickly.
Right, let's get to it then, shall we? I like the foolishness with you, but we don't have time for frivolity today, sir.
All right, so Logitech have launched a new mouse called the MX Master 4. Are we talking about the MX Master 4 today? No, why not? Because up until the launch of the MX Master 4, the 3S was the best mouse ever made, in my humble opinion. It's the one that I use. And it's now available for about half the price of the 4. So we will review the 4 in due course, and I'm sure it has additional bells and whistles, which will be, you know, lovely to talk about. But the MX Master 3S is currently selling, if you look around, you can get it for about £65. It's not a cheap mouse, but the 4 will be about twice that price. So this is a lovely mouse. It's ergonomic. All the buttons are where they should be. It's got something called any surface tracking, so you don't need a mouse pad. It'll even work on a glass table.
I believe that when I see it.
I've used mine on the glass table. I don't. Before I make that claim, I test it.
No, but that, you know, for a second, it sounded like you were reading their kind of bump about what it is and what it does. I didn't know it was a bespoke, personal thing that, you know, because I just keep fiddling. Because everybody gets, I'm doing it now, I've got the mouse, and you keep shaking it to make sure that it does reach. But that's good news.
Unless I tell you otherwise, everything that I talk about, I've tested.
Yes.
In person. And that's why I'm not doing the review of the 4 today, because I haven't got it yet. So, you know, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to work just off the specs. So, 8,000 dots per inch resolution. So it's very, very accurate. It's good for office use, gaming, everything. The clicks on it are really quiet. I still own the Master 2. It's still going strong. But the clicks on that are normal volume. These are very, very quiet. It's the only mouse I can use when I'm actually speaking on radio without the clicks of the mouse actually coming up. So that's worthwhile. It's nice just to have something a little bit quieter. The scrolling on it, the wheel, it's got something called mag speed. It's a sort of magnetic interconnect. It allows you very much faster scrolling speeds, but also a great deal of precision. And it can control multiple machines at once. So I've got a setup with 3 screens, you know, side by side, center, left and right. And each of them are run by a different computer. Some are Mac, some are PCs. But as I just move my mouse across the screen, it falls off the edge of one screen and it appears on the other one. So I can control with one mouse 3 computers. And my keyboard, at the press of a button, which is also Logitech MX, allows me to switch between the 3 computers.
Please forgive me. Are you talking about 3 computers or what Mrs. Nestor is talking about now, which is having 3 screens?
No, I'm talking about 3 separate computers.
Oh, right, okay.
So I've got a Mac, a Windows PC, and an iPad with an external screen. And I'm able to just swipe the mouse across all 3 and just control them. It's very, very intuitive because you don't even have to switch between them. On the keyboard, you've got buttons 1, 2, 3 for the different computers. And again, you can control all of those. And it's a really, really nice thing. It's well implemented. 4.5 stars out of 5 for the Logitech.
Which, for those of you who haven't listened before, is actually a 5-star review.
Well, nothing gets 5 stars because it's like you're saying, there's no room for improvement. There's always room for improvement.
You think so?
Yeah, of course.
With my presenting style, do you think?
Well, I mean, that may be the exception.
You're a silly man. That's why I like you. Right.
All right.
How much did you say, sorry?
So you can pick it up, if you shop around, for about £65, which is half of its original price at launch. And about half of what the MX4 is now launched at. Mm. Okay.
It's going to be weird when you do review that, isn't it? Because you're going to have to find a way to review it relative to the fact that you've found this thing, which is very, very good.
Look, I think that the four will have new features. I mean, I know what some of the features are. I don't want to talk too much about them because I haven't tested them. Yeah. But for example, things like haptic feedback. Now, for some people, it's worth spending the money just for that feature. But the other things will be, a lot of them will be refinements. It is a very mature product. It's like an iPhone in that way, right? Apple struggle to make it leaps and bounds better than the previous one. It is better, but you wouldn't necessarily, you know, buy a new one every year because the improvements can be either incremental or sort of specialist. But the haptic feedback, I think, is quite clever. But I, as I say, I haven't tried it. I want to know what it literally what it feels like in my hand. Mice, computer mice, are very personal purchases. You know, I can love a mouse because it sits well in my hand. If you're left-handed, this one, not necessarily for you. So the thing is to buy them from somewhere where they've got a no-quibble returns policy. You can't just go by the specs or what I say, because a lot of it is ergonomics and a lot of that is a matter of opinion.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. So that's our first one coming in at 4.5 stars and feels like a bargain. Hugely pushed there, promoted, recommended by Fevzi. What have we got next?
Next we've got a new device from a company called 12 South. 12 South are best known for doing sort of high-end Apple type accessories, and this thing is new. It's from them. It's called the Power Bug. That's one word, power, and then BUG. It's a charger. It's a wall charger, but it's one with a unique feature to it. So you plug it into any electrical socket and you get a 35 watt charger. You plug a USB-C cable into it and off you go. Very nice charger it is too. But in addition to that, it's a circular design, and the back of it is a MagSafe charger. So you literally can just snap your phone onto the back of this charger, which plugs into the wall magnetically, and it will charge wirelessly. So you can actually charge two things at once. You've got the wired charging via the 35-watt internals, and then you've got the MagSafe, and it just snaps on the back. So in effect, the Power Bug becomes your stand. Now, the issue with this is what height your wall sockets are at, because if they are, you know, just above the skirting board, or you know, that's not an ideal place to wirelessly charge a phone. You can't really use it at that height unless you're lying on the floor. However, if, for example, you're in a kitchen, it can be ideal with these sockets, you know, just above the worktop. You can be maybe following a recipe or listening to the radio, you know, whilst charging it, and not just charging it, whilst, you know, having it as a stand. So it works very well. I've given it 3.5 stars out of 5. And the reason for that is it's, first of all, that issue of the height of the sockets. This was designed in America, and I think in the States a lot of sockets are higher up the wall than they are here. So that might be part of the reason why. And also because it's just launched, it's selling at the full price, which is a penny short of £50. And I would like to see that price come down. It will come down over time, but when, you know, products launch for the first time, people rush to buy them and they sell at the full recommended retail price. So 7 out of 10, 3.5 stars out of 5, still good, but I'd just like to see it a little bit cheaper, please.
Yeah, well, there you go. We can all wish for something, can't we?
Well, I think it will be if you're patient. It will, you know.
Yeah, but that's like, it will never deflation. Be cheap. Don't do that. That's what they did in Japan. Mm. Nobody buys anything because they think it will be cheaper next week.
I don't think we have that problem, Eddie, of nobody buying.
I'm given to hyperbole, haven't you? Not, after speaking to me for years and years, have you worked? Do you know nothing about me?
I do, but I don't retain it just for mental health reasons, you know.
If only I could do that. Just let it come in, be like a duck. It goes in and it comes out straight away. What's number three, please?
Okay, number three, we've seen before, but we've got a price drop in it, so I just wanted to mention it again. It is our workaround from being held to ransom by Apple's pricing for internal storage on its Mac computers. So Mac computers are lovely. I own them. I buy them with my own money. And when you buy the entry-level model, they're really good value, actually, these days, you know, with the M-series processors. So Mac Mini, you can pick up a Mac Mini for, you know, £450 new, and it's great. And it's got 16 gig of RAM, and that's great, but it comes with 256 gigabytes of internal storage. That's not so great. You can choose to upgrade it at the time of purchase, but not later internally, not officially at least. But the price goes up hugely. It's like £200 increase for each upgrade increment. So you can easily double the amount of money you pay for the computer by just increasing the internal storage to a reasonable amount. And when I say reasonable, I mean like a terabyte. It's not a huge amount. So the way around that is Apple provides you with very, very fast Thunderbolt ports on all of their Mac computers now. And these mean that you can attach a Thunderbolt drive, an SSD drive, to it externally that will do everything the internal drive does. But you can do it, first of all, much cheaper. Secondly, it's easily upgradable because it's external, it's in an enclosure. So this device is the enclosure. It's called the Acasis 405 Pro M1. And it's dropped.
Can I trust it? Sometimes I've got about four of them now, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I read stuff and I'll put it in, and sometimes it won't read the HDMI one, or sometimes it won't. Because I've got the flat one, and then you put it at the side of the computer, and then you plug all the stuff into it, and you can get the card in there as well. But there's always, it feels like there's always something that isn't working, and I have to fiddle it, and then clearly that's not the best thing to do. As you know, fiddling with stuff doesn't always end well, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, to answer your question, can you trust it? I own about six external Thunderbolt drives, which I use in quite a risky way as a boot drive. You know, so in other words, I install the operating system, the apps, and
everything
on the external drive.
But just make it clear: in order to use it to do that, you have to trust it.
Yes, you do. But having said that, you know what Reagan used to say about trust but verify. I would say trust but back up. Mm.
Belts and braces.
Yeah, whether it's an internal drive, an external drive, you should be doing backups of anything you can't afford to lose. You should be doing regular backups of, and if you don't, then you will get caught out at some point, as I have been. So I do trust it. I haven't had a failure of all the ones I use.
Touch wood.
Well, so far I haven't had a failure. It will go at some point, you know. But
it's like you're challenging fate. What do you think you are, God? And so far, I have never had a failure.
Well, I have, but not of this drive.
Yeah,
but,
clearly.
Yes.
Okay, we know.
I'm here on time.
We know your boot up mechanism doesn't always function in the way that it should.
Thank you so much for sharing that with our audience. I really appreciate that. Was told to you in confidence, Eddie. Come on,
right?
Don't be like that.
So, how much and how many? What kind of recommendation?
Okay, so the device itself has dropped to about £86, which is the cheapest it's ever been. This is the enclosure. And then you put an SSD in it, which is like a hard disk drive, but it looks more like a big stick of chewing gum. And you just slot it in. Doesn't require tools or anything. You just slot it in. And you can choose. So let's say you buy one of the crucial ones. 1 terabyte drive is just under £60. 2 terabyte is just under £100. And 4 terabytes is just under, just over 200. So to give you an idea, let's take the 2 terabyte. Apple would charge you £800 for an upgrade to 2 terabytes. You can do it with the enclosure and the 2 terabyte drive for 186.
So that's two separate things, just to make it clear.
Yeah. So you buy an enclosure, £86.58. You buy Crucial P310, 2 terabytes. It's £99.99. Total, £186.57. Compare that to the £800 Apple charge you, saving £613.43. You can go out and buy another computer with that. You know, it's that's why I mean, you know why I always bang on about this? Because they're charging you £800 for an update to go from a quarter of a terabyte to 2 terabytes. It's a lot of money.
Well, that's why. When I went in there with Mrs. Nestor, the only one that was left was the 17.2 terabyte. No, people were going, don't be ridiculous. And they were like, that's the only one. And it's nearly £2,000. That was the only one left in the shop.
Yeah.
Well, I think people have cottoned on to it now.
Okay. Can I just say two more things very quickly? Do we have time?
If you can.
Right. It's a company called Serif. They've been making software for ever, decades. And they, on an iPad, they produce under the brand name Affinity, the Affinity Photo 2, which is a photo editor which has much of the capabilities of Adobe Photoshop, which you can't buy outright and you have to rent. It's got Affinity Publisher 2 and Affinity Designer 2. I use all of these apps on my iPad. They're pro-grade apps. At the moment, they're free. So I just want to say to you, if you've got an iPad or I think it'll run on iPhones, definitely on an iPad, go and install them. Okay, you can install them for free. Then you select the trial version of it for 7 days. Then you go to the account page and you click on buy, but the buy button is £0 and 0 pence. So just make sure it's still zero.
But do I have to put my details in before that? Because the way they get you is you, even though it's 7 days free, you've got to put all your details in before you get to that.
You have to give a name and an email address.
And not a bank account?
No.
I'm just telling you, because the point of 7 days free is at the end of it, you find it so good that you then go and spend money and it happens automatically.
Yeah, but the point is, during the 7 days free,
yes,
you make, in quotes, purchase for £0, and then you get it for free forever. You know, with Adobe software, you can't even buy it outright. You used to be able to buy Photoshop, right? And it was yours, effectively. Now you have to rent it so much a month, and it's not even cheap. A lot of people leaving Adobe at the moment. So this iPad software is great. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think the reason that they're doing it is there's an announcement coming at the end of this month from them. And I think they might be doing a new version, but these are already really good. They are good replacements for, things like Adobe Photoshop, InDesign, the standard Adobe apps that you would normally rent. You can get these.
How did you learn how to use them? Did you go into the Apple shop when they do the masterclasses, or are you a YouTube guy?
I usually just download something and play with it and learn it, and then I'll use an AI system just to help fill out my knowledge if there's something in particular I haven't worked out. YouTube is time intensive for learning.
For somebody like you.
What I do with YouTube is I copy the link, I post it into an AI called Notebook LM, which is from Google, who also own YouTube, and I get it to do a detailed summary of it for me. I turn it into a podcast where two presenters talk about the video. But
are your podcasters AI as well?
Yeah, and then you can ask it questions as well. So that's the best way of doing it, because some podcasts last over 2 hours, like Diary of a CEO and stuff. These interviews are over 2 hours. I kind of get them down to about 10 or 15 minutes and get all the key points. The podcast is gadgetdetective.com. Thank you so much.
Have you seen
it's going great guns? We went past 650 episodes, by the way. Hold on a minute.
Do you think I have you on the show because I like you?
Well, that's obviously not the case.
Well, I have you on the show because you're good.
Bless you. Thank you. Well, anyway, so if you go to gadgetdetective.com, there is a podcast there with lots of additional information. The final thing that I want to say is a use for an AI. We all use now things like ChatGPT, or at least most of us do.
I need to get one that does illustration. I tried to do a picture of me the other day, and I looked like some black fella, but nothing like me. My nose wasn't right.
I mean, you can only work with what you've got, right? I mean, it's not the AI's fault.
You don't have to be horrible. Shut up.
Don't have to be, but it's so fun. Come on, look. This is low-hanging fruit now, right?
I know. But I've had a pretty tough morning, fella. I think I've earned the right to be just a little bit silly. And I think you're the absolute best person to do it with.
Okay, look. This... I came up with not a brand new use, but it's a really useful use of an AI system, be it ChatGPT or Perplexity or Google Gemini. When you receive an email and you're not sure if it's pucker, if it's legitimate or if it's a scam, copy and paste the email into your AI. Ask it if it thinks it's genuine. If it thinks it's not, ask it to explain why. And it's a really good way of learning how to spot fake and scam emails and text messages as well. You can just paste the text into the AI, and it gives you a really good analysis, and it goes away and does research and, you know, follows the links and does these things safely for you. And I just found it's a really good...
That's a really nice... I mean, we did some stuff on, people being scammed this weekend. It seems one of the biggest problems with it is that you're so embarrassed by what happens to you that you really don't want to come forward and speak to a Muppet like me. And in that, you can be helping other people. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is a really good thing to pass on to people who aren't maybe as tech savvy, find it harder to spot, you know, maybe English not the first language as well, because one of the ways that you pick out scams has traditionally been the poor English. Having said that, no one should be ashamed of being scammed, particularly because now they are getting so good, because just as I've just said to you, we can use AI to detect scams. Of course, AI is used to create them on an industrial scale now.
And so your friend is your enemy.
Yeah, it's a bit like, you know, viruses and antiviruses. They're essentially very similar technologies, but they're just playing cat and mouse and leapfrogging each other, to mix my metaphors as I go.
I'm gonna stick an extra one with you. I'll get Jay to work out when you're available. It seems to me when I meet people now, they keep saying that they want more of particular stuff. And when you come on to review the stuff, we can't go, right, well, if you've never used AI before, here's something that you could look at. Is it worth paying for? What types are there? What? Because you've just talked about it, analysing, scrutinising and critiquing stuff. And that's not the way that I've ever used it. And I think it would be interesting because it is the future. I saw my boy take it out to do his homework and I asked him, how is that permissible? And he had to take me through how people are using it. So we'll stick it. We'll stick an extra one in, if that's all right with
Anytime.
You.
Anytime, yeah.
What's the name of the podcast?
It's funny you should say that. It's called the Gadget Detective Podcast. Go to gadgetdetective.com. Subscribe there. There is a bounty of podcasts coming through. In fact, they're coming through so thick and fast now that people are complaining.